tonight to the Lord. While you're standing, open up your Bibles. Amen. Everybody, you grab your Bibles. Amen. How many of them always bring your Bibles? Always bring your Bibles. Amen. The Bible, this is the most important time of any service. I don't mean that they've done the praise and worship. We done done the singing, and all of that. But this is the time that we pull out the sword of the Spirit.
Amen.
Your Bible is called the sword of the Spirit. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is the most dangerous weapon we have. Why? Because Satan cannot defeat you when you know the sword of the Spirit, when you know the word of God. Am I making sense?
Amen.
Glory be to God. Amen. So this is the most important time of any service, I don't care what they do. The word of God is the most important time. You got to know how to use your sword. Amen. Do you know how to use your sword? If I were to ask you again, do you know how to use your sword? And if you don't act like you know something you don't really know. Just say, I'm learning how to use it. Say, I'm learning how.
I'm learning how.
That's right. Because why? Amen. We all have to learn how to use the word of God. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you're able to stand, will you stand for the reading of God's word? We're in 1 John, the first chapter. 1 John, the first chapter. We almost through with the first chapter. I've been going line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little, because why? The word of God is most important. Come on in. Come on in. The word of God is the most important thing in any church. In any church, the word of God is, and amen, and I'm a stickler of the word of God. Amen. Nothing else can hinder you but the word of God. 1 John, the first chapter. Everybody there?
Amen.
Now, we're going to start with verse 7. Amen. And 1 John, the first chapter, verse 7. 1 John, the first chapter, verse 7. He says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. In the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, do you see that?
Amen.
He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Verse chapter 2, verse 1. This is an encouraging time now. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. Tell you next, quit sinning.
Quit sinning.
Look to somebody in the eyes. Look in the eyes. See if you can see the color of their eyes. Amen. They look in their eyes. Amen. Look in their eyes. Tell them, say, quit sinning. Amen. Look to them. God, don't be scared of them. No, say, don't be scared of them. Say, back up off. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, say it, so that means you. Say, that means me. Amen. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. Say, he paid the price. Say, I didn't get what I should have gotten. Come on. Amen. Amen. And I didn't get what I deserved, but he paid the price. Say, look at the cross. Say, look at the picture up there. Say, look at the picture up there. Say, that's him paying the price. That's him paying the price. Does that make sense, church? He paid the price. It says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Bow your heads with me in prayer briefly. Father, we just thank you for your word. Your word is our life. Your word is our substance. Your word is our everything. Your word, his name is Jesus. We praise you for Jesus. We worship you for Jesus. And we glorify you for Jesus. Hallelujah for Jesus, who is our King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, Father, as I stand in the prophet, priest, and the king, show forth your praise through me. As I operate in the fullness of the Holy Ghost without measure, I thank you for the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit of truth will reveal the word of truth, that we may know you, the God of truth. That every lie of the devil will come down in Christ Jesus' name. Every lie of the mind, emotion, and will must come down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I thank you for truth reigning, truth ruling, and truth manifesting itself. Now, Father, even as your word says, one plants, another waters, but you give the increase. Come on, let's thank the Lord for it. Said Jesus bear all of our infirmities and sicknesses on his cross, and that by his stripes we're healed. Father, somebody's sick in their mind right now.
Amen.
They're having negative thoughts that are running through their mind even while they're in church right now. Their mind is being tormented by something of the past. They're sick in their mind. Somebody is sick in their emotions. Because their emotions are all out of whack. They scared one minute, happy one minute, angry one minute, frustrated another minute. That their emotions, the emotional state of this person is sick. Somebody is sick in their will. They're wrestling. They know your will. They know the word of God. But they're wrestling on whether or not they want to do your will over their own will. They're sick in their will. Somebody is sick in their physical body. They're having somebody's having arthritis pain right now. Somebody's having sugar diabetes problem right now. Somebody's been having high blood pressure problems. Somebody's been having headaches, and they don't know why they're having the headaches, but they're having headaches from time to time. Somebody's having intestinal problems. Their stomach is always messed up and acting crazy. But Father, even as your word said, Jesus bear all of our infirmities and sicknesses on his cross, that by his stripes we are healed. Come on, let's thank Jesus for our healing. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
No matter Amen. She's going to always be my daughter. But sometimes, that don't mean that my daughter always sees eye to eye. And even though she's still going to be my daughter, but when we don't see eye to eye, the fellowship has been what? Broken. Can I get a witness? Am I right or wrong? When we don't see, me and my daughter don't see eye to eye, glory be to God, she'll tell me, well, daddy, such and such and such and such, well, baby, such and such and such and such. And then she'll say, well, you don't have to yell. I ain't yelling. I'm saying what I said, and I mean what I say. Amen. But all the time, even though she's going to forever be my daughter, that don't mean my daughter and I always agree.
Amen.
So that means when we're not in agreement, the fellowship has been broken. Can I get a witness? Now, this can lead us into two different things. First of all, I will tell you, family is always important.
Amen.
I don't care how you feel about your family member. I don't care what goes on between you and your family member. Amen. You need to get the relationship restored.
Amen.
If there's some folks you need to get to, if kin folks, come on here.
Amen.
And all of that, you need to get some relationships restored. Because Father God, he wants to make sure that nothing stops you, him, and Jesus from having fellowship.
Amen.
Nothing will hinder your relationship between he and you and the Father. Am I making sense?
Amen.
Anything that's hindering that relationship, I told you last week, Father God is going to purge it out of us.
Amen.
Remember me saying that last week? He's going to do whatever it takes. If it's interfering between his relationship and my relationship and his son, Father God is going to go to work and do something to get that thing out of the way. Because he does not want the fellowship, the relationship to be interrupted. Can I get a witness? Amen. That's a good thing that Father God loves us so much. He's going to do whatever it takes. Can I get a witness? Amen. If you got some things in your life today, and you know that thing is stopping you from having a relationship with Father God and His Son, you better expect that thing to start shaking around you. Because sometimes we don't want to let go of some things. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Are there some things you don't want to let go and you know that's stopping you from really with your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Come on here. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
That's why confession is good for the soul.
Amen.
That's why we have to confess.
Amen.
We have to confess when we're wrong. We have to acknowledge when we're wrong. I went to my daughter last night and told her some things. I said, baby, I said, you were right. I had to tell her. I said, sweetheart, you were right in what you said. And she probably didn't know what I was telling her. I was saying she was right about it. I wasn't going to help her rub it in, you know. Amen. But I humbled myself and went to her and told her, I said, Princess, you're right. I got to admit, what you said is right. Sometimes you can hear something and you don't really want to receive it.
Yeah.
Have you ever been there before?
Yeah.
You don't really want to receive it. And you know, is that enough no's? that person is telling you the right truth. And when you don't want to hear it, amen. How many ever got mad at somebody when they were telling you the truth? How many ever got mad? How many ever went to curse somebody out when they were telling you the truth? Amen. Come on, tell the truth in the house of God. Amen. Don't sit there and live a lie. And God, who's all knowing, he's all powerful and everywhere at one time, he knows whether you're lying or not. That's the worst thing you could ever do is sit in the presence of Almighty God and live a lie. Come on here, did you hear what I just said? That's the worst thing any of us ever could do is sit in the presence of an Almighty God who's everywhere at one time. He knows what you're thinking right now. Come on here. He knows what you have already planned when you leave the church. He already knows it. And then for me to sit there and act like God doesn't know makes me look like a fool. Come on here. Everybody plays a fool. Sometimes everybody plays a fool. Come on here.
Amen.
Come on. Have you ever played a fool before?
Yeah.
Come on here. Have you ever? before, before you knew God knew what you were doing, and you knew what God knew what you had planned. Come on, how many of you got some plans and you act like God don't know about it? Come on here. How many of you know? Let's be real in the house of God. How many of you have some plans, some agendas, and you know those agendas and plans are not of God?
Come on now. Amen. Amen.
And you know it.
Amen.
And God sees you trying to work your own plan and agenda.
Amen.
And he's trying with all, he's doing all he can do to get you not to go that route.
All right.
He's throwing things to get you to stop before you get there.
Amen.
Come on here.
Amen.
Amen. Solomon called vanity's a vanity. Amen. It's vain. It's vain. It's going to lead to a dead end road. And you know it ain't going to lead nowhere. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
How many ever pursued something? You know. You just seen other folks do it, and you know it led them to the wrong place, and you still tried to do it. Because you thought you could outdo the doer. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
Can I get a witness? Amen. 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 But God in his righteousness is going to do all he can do to get you to not do that thing, because he knows that's going to cut off your relationship with him, your fellowship with him. He knows that. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. He, remember last week that we closed out on continue ye in my love. Remember that? Let's go to John the 15th chapter. Let's look at that. You'll see where I'm going today with this. Amen. Look at John the 15th chapter. John, the Gospel of John. Amen. John the 15th chapter. Everybody there?
Amen.
John the 15th chapter. Jesus says here, and I'll start with verse 3. Amen. Everybody there?
Amen.
Look what he says in John the 15th chapter, verse 3. He says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Jesus says, abide in me. Say, this is fellowship. Amen. Abide in me, I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now look at it real quick. Let me pause. You know why this branch is withered? Because when you don't stay continuously, do the word of God, be a doer of the word of God, you wither away. Did you hear what I just said?
Oh, yeah.
When you don't constantly find yourself being a doer of the word of God, you'll find yourself withering away. Have you ever seen somebody that's your age and they look older than you? Have you ever wondered, man, and sometimes you look at them and say, boy, they look old.
Come on.
And they're your same age. But you know their lifestyle is not of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know they're not living for Jesus. Come on here, let's tell the truth in the house of God.
Amen.
And you know they're not living for Jesus. And they look old and they're your same age. You look at them like, wow. And that's only a result of them not abiding in the word. They are withering away. Can y'all see? Can I know some folks like that now? And the more they stay in their sin, the more they start looking old and decrepit. They start looking like, and you see them over a period of time, and you be saying, man, what's wrong with them? Well, the scripture said they wither away.
Yes.
Because they're not being a doer of the word of God. They're not letting the word of God become life to them. So they slowly are decaying and dying off because they're not staying connected. They're not staying connected. They're not staying connected. That's why when I see folks like that, See, guys might say, man, they look bad, man, they look old. And they say, man, you're young, you know. I know why I look young, it's because of Jesus.
Amen.
I stay connected.
Amen.
I'm a doer of his word.
Amen.
I abide in him, and he's abiding where?
In me.
Does that make sense?
Right.
You got to abide in him, and he's got to abide in you, or otherwise you'll find yourself slowly but surely withering away.
Amen.
You'll find yourself, you'll get up in the morning, you'll have wrinkles. Amen. Man, where'd that wrinkle? You don't see wrinkles in your forehead. Come on here. You see, amen. Amen. You can't get that wrinkle cream. That wrinkle cream ain't gonna stop you from wrinkling. Come on here. Amen. Amen. Don't folks get that wrinkle cream and this is supposed to help you get rid of your wrinkles. Amen. Amen. Be a doer of the word of God. And I guarantee you, you'll live. Come on here, church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Look what else he says here in John. I pause because he said they wither away and they're gotten, they're cast into the fire, they're burned. Verse 7, he said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciple. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. This is where we stopped at last week. We got in this vein here. What Jesus is saying, continue ye in my what?
Love.
Now I pointed out last week, this is why people feel like, when you start feeling like nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. They don't even care.
Jesus.
Remember we got to that vein? When you start feeling like nobody loves you, it's because you're not continuing in love. How do I continue in this love? Jesus said in the scripture, if you love me, keep my what?
Commandments.
Isn't that what Jesus said?
Amen.
If you love Jesus and keep obeying him, you will continue in his love. Now this is why folks feel like they nobody loves them at times. This is why the spirit of fear is able to grip people. When fear, have you ever been scared and you don't know why? You know, one thing that I found out of my years of being with Jesus, there's a scripture in the book of Proverbs that says, evil pursues the sinner. There's a scripture in the book of Proverbs, let me say that again, that evil pursues the sinner. That's scriptural. In other words, when you sin, from the point that you commit the sin and you walk away from the sin, evil starts chasing you. Evil starts chasing you. That's why you heard folks say, when it rains, it sure do what? Because now, that evil from all those sins that's trying to catch up with you, when you're on your bed or in your affliction, it seems like it comes. Because the Bible says, this is not my word. This is B-I-B-L-E. Evil pursues, chases after, run behind the sinner. That's why when you sometimes go places, you always see him. And you look, have you ever done that before? And you look back and ain't nothing there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Ain't nobody behind me. You go in your house and you hear something. You know, you hear something. And you go. And you go look in your house and ain't nothing even there. Come on here. Evil is pursuing you. Come on here. It's trying to catch up with you. Everything I say is B-I-B-L-E. It is Bible.
Amen.
Evil pursues the sinner. And it starts chasing after you to catch you so it can hit you all at one time. That's why folks say, man, it's like everything hit them at one time. all that evil they did, finally catching up with them. Oh, y'all don't like this. Y'all don't like this. Y'all don't like this. Y'all don't like this. I got your, but I can see I got your attention, because some of us got some things you hoping that will never catch up with you. Can I get a witness? Amen. But there are some things you hoping that will nobody would ever find out, and it never catches up with you, and you done went on with your own life and like it ain't nothing. Can I get a witness? Say, give a Bible example, preacher. Say it. What do you think eventually caught up with David? When he slept with Bathsheba and killed her husband. All that evil he had done caught up with him. And when it caught up with him, his own son started chasing him from his own home, wanted to kill him. The vision came in his own household from the sin with Bathsheba and killing her husband. His own son slept with his own wife. This is all the evil that finally started catching up with David because of that one sin. Did you hear what I just said? But now you got to understand that David did this with his sin. The only reason why he finally caught up with him, because David took it and he hid it and acted like he didn't do nothing. He still walked in his kingly duties. He still went on with his life. Are there some things that you did and you act like you've done nothing?
Come on, y'all.
Let me deal with it. I'm going to show you scripture now. I'm going to give you another scripture. When you do that, you hide the sin and act like it is nothing. Come on here. The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. If you notice that there's some things you have not confessed before God, seem like you've made your road hard. Come on here. Seem like you've made your own travel hard. Because you know you haven't confessed that to God. You know you haven't repented that to God. Am I in the house? You know you haven't repented that of the God. You haven't said, Father God, forgive me. You haven't actually came to God and said, forgive me. I'm talking about not where you confess it and you still intend to do it.
Come on.
Am I in the house?
Amen.
Now there's some things you confessed and you still gonna do it, don't come hell or high water. Come on, let's tell the truth in the house of God. Let's tell the truth in the house of God.
Amen.
You know you're going to do it in God. Look at God. God ain't stupid now. Father God knows you're going to do it anyway. Come on. He's just trying to get you to stop. Am I making sense?
Amen.
He wants you to stop. Say, Lord, help me to stop. Jesus says, continue ye in my love. And he goes on to say, look what he says in verse 10, John 15 and 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my what?
Love.
How many of you feel like nobody loves you right now? Come on, tell the truth. God gonna bless you for your honesty. God gonna bless you for your honesty. See, you're not being honest to me, but you're being honest to God.
Amen.
See, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. And if you feel like you're not loved right now, I would ask you, are there some things you need to confess to God? It could be bitterness. It could be unforgiveness. It could be prejudiceness. It could be, I don't know what it is. But because of it, he said, look what he says in that 10th verse. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my what? So is there an area in your life that you're not obeying? Is that an area in your life you're not submitting to Jesus in?
Amen.
Am I in the house?
Amen.
Are you looking at yourself and looking at the man in the mirror?
Amen.
Am I making sense?
Amen.
If you feel like you're not loved, what is it in your own individual life you not continuing in his love for you? What is stopping you from sensing the love of God the Father through his Son right now? What is it? This is love illustrated. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What is it in your life that you're not sensing his love? It makes you act crazy. Because you're trying to get attention in order to feel like you love. Mm-hmm. Have you ever did some stupid things to get some attention? And finally, I got their attention. Yeah. If this is the only way I can get their attention, I'm going to keep doing it. Because now they'll pay attention to me. Because they showing they love me. By me doing bad, that's the only way I feel like I'm loved. Every time I do something bad, they all come and want to pay attention to me. Now I know they love me because they're paying attention to me. They're paying attention to me now. Children will act out because they feel like you're not paying them enough attention, so they'll act out to get your attention. They'll do stupid things to get your attention. Now they feel like you love them because you're paying them some attention. Am I in the house? I know I'm touching some nerves right now. When I said that, the sword of the spirit went into action. Something started cutting. Some of you felt something on the inside of you because I identified with why you act up sometimes. Why you act crazy sometimes. Now you finally got their names and they paying attention. You feel like they love you. You feel like they love you. Can I get out of the house?
Amen.
And this is what people do. What is it in your life that's stopping you from continuing in the love of Jesus? What is it? What is it? Look deep within yourself. Am I condemning you? I'm not condemning nobody. I'm trying to get you to get into the love relationship. Am I making sense? I'm trying to get you into the love relationship. Somebody would say, well, he preached this last week, yeah, but still everybody is not healed.
Amen. Amen.
Everybody is not healed today. Am I in the house?
Amen.
And because everybody's not healed, there's still some sick people in the church right now.
Amen.
And they're sick in their mind. They're sick in their emotions. They're sick in their own will because they feel like that they're not loved. They feel like nobody really loves them because you don't understand me. You don't know what I've been going through. You don't know how I really feel, you know, because if you loved me, you would understand what I'm feeling right now. Come on here, church. You would really know what I'm feeling if you really love me. I'm supposed to be your son. I'm supposed to be your daughter. I'm supposed to be your husband or your wife. I'm supposed to be your mate, and you don't.
Come on now.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Come on now.
And you think that that person is the one that can meet that need for you. And it's only one person can meet that need. And that's Jesus.
Yeah.
More marriages break up because the person feel like that person don't love them because they're not paying certain attentions to them.
Come on.
More friendships break up because when I needed you the most, you didn't call me up. You didn't pay me no attention. And, you weren't there at my weakest point. And then what I've come to realize, only those four points. The first point that we all need is security.
Mm-hmm.
Second point we all need is acceptance, but our acceptance is not dealing relating to other people, but it's relating to God.
Amen.
When you realize that you've been accepted by God. Now, if somebody told me, well, I know I've been accepted by God, but that's not enough for them. They want something else. They want somebody that can come, hold your hand out, Nina, because I can touch you and I ain't getting fresh. Come here. Hold your hand. They want somebody that can touch them to, in order to feel like they're accepted.
Yeah.
Are you one that if somebody ain't touching you, Nina can touch my feet. Touch you. Ooh, I just love you. Ooh. And then when you get used to it, then you feel like that's not meeting the need. You, when you get used to that person's touch, I mean, after a while, you get used to it and you say, that's not meeting the need no more. Now you're not happy again. You're not content anymore. This is why relationships break up. This is why we go find somebody else to get our fire started. Woo! Because that person is... Seem like your fire is not there after them no more. So now you looking for somebody else to keep your fire burning.
Come on.
Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, let me go this way. When you get those deep, heavy breathing toward that person.
Come on.
Want to do. God's word is not agreeing with me getting drunk all the time. So me and God ain't seeing eye to eye. God's word is not agreeing with me. Come on here. Am I in the house? And because of it, you feel like sometimes, well, I know God is there, but I ain't feeling it right now.
Jesus.
I ain't feeling it right now. I know he's there, but I ain't feeling it.
Amen.
I don't feel what I used to feel when I go to church no more.
Come on.
Have you ever said that before? And because of it, I ain't going to that church. I need to find a church that I can get that feeling. You lost that loving feeling. Ooh, okay, all right, amen. I ain't always been saved. It's gone, 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 gone. Hey, I wouldn't say. And that's the way sometimes you feel even in church.
Come on.
Yes, yes. Preach.
Come on, Nelson.
You feel that away, so you try to go from one church to another church to another church trying to get the
preach.
Yeah. The burn again. When you lose your fire for God, the very next step is to walk away from the things of God. You'll walk away and you'll go back into... Eric, come, Charles, turn this board around for me. You'll go back into the world. That's what Peter did. The Bible says, Peter, after Jesus had been put on the cross and was buried, Peter and some of his disciples says, well, we were fishermen. Let's go and go back fishing. Let's go back and do what we used to do. Thank you, guys. Let's go back and do what we used to do. He found us when he first called us. We were all fishermen. So let's go back to fishing again. You know, because, you know, the man, he didn't die and been placed on the cross. I know he said he going to get up, but he ain't up right now, so... Let's go back and do what we used to do. Come on here. Am I in the house?
Amen.
Some of you find yourself when that fire is not there. You find yourself going back and doing what you used to do. Because you are familiar with that. Am I in the house?
Amen.
You know what that's like. You know, amen. It could even be your old boyfriend. Amen. You remember what he was like. It could be a old girlfriend. Come on here. Because you're familiar with them. Come on here. Amen. Some of y'all acting like, man. Right. Amen. But Peter then felt the same way after the burial of Jesus. After Jesus was not seen for those 3 days. In the midst of those 3 days, then Peter said, we're going to go back fishing. So they went back fishing. They went back doing what they used to do. The Bible says, while they were fishing, Jesus was on the side of the seashore. And he had a fire going and he was cooking something. And it just so happened, one of the disciples said, hey, that looked like the master. I think, wait, that is the master. The fire is finally starting to. I want to turn this down a little bit. You know why? Because I'm trying to make a point. That was just a little glimpse of the fire starting to tickle back up. They see the master on the side of the shore. And he's cooking some fish. That looked like the master. So he went up. Peter, the Bible said Peter jumps off the boat and swims over there. To the master. And he got some fish and he's rekindling the relationship.
Amen.
Is this helping somebody?
Amen.
Because God is trying to rekindle some relationships in here. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
But if you don't get the things that's hindering you from it out of the way, am I making sense?
Amen.
He's got to get some stuff out of the way. And if you like that stuff so much, I mean, that's where the sword of the Spirit's got to go cutting some things off of you.
Come on.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on, man. He got to cut some things away. And sometimes being cut hurts.
Yes.
And not ours.
Amen.
Sometimes when he's cutting some stuff off of us, it hurts. Mm-hmm. I remember this true story. There was a lady that had a demonic spirit in her. And the demonic spirit, when the lady came to me and said that she wanted to be free, and she told me her situation. And I, when I got ready to pray for the lady, she went to screaming and howling, but it wasn't her. It was the demonic spirit in her. And the demonic spirit said at that moment, "Don't make me go!" I told the family members, "Get out of the room." I said, "Everybody leave me and her in the room by ourselves." I said, "Get out." Because the demonic spirit, which was her familiarity. Y'all get that. Y'all get that. Y'all, did you hear what I just said?
Mm-hmm.
The thing that Satan keeps you familiarized with about that old is demonic.
Come on.
Yes. Come on, Devin.
Did you hear what I just said? Mm-hmm. The thing that keeps you familiarized, you understand when I say familiarized with it? You know what it used to be like.
Reminiscing.
Thank you, reminiscing. Do you get where I'm going with that? That is the demonic spirit that's coming, trying to get you to open the door to it again. Y'all got something out of this?
Mm-hmm.
Can y'all see it?
Mm-hmm.
Can y'all see what I'm talking about? You gotta see this.
Yeah.
I'm following you.
You gotta see this. That's demonic. Its whole goal. See, your flame is out, so you're looking for something. That's why Jesus said, when a house is clean and swept and garnished, he said, "You're clean through the words that I have spoken." We just read that in John, the 15th chapter. He said, "You're clean through the words that I have spoken."
Amen, amen.
And his word cleans the house. It gets my mind right. His word gets my emotions right. His word gets my will when I want to do his will. I ain't wrestling no more. Can I get a witness? His word makes my body feel good. Oh, I can go somewhere with that one. Say, don't go there, preacher.
Don't go there,
preacher. Can I go what I heard, what I seen? Can I go with what I heard and what I seen? All right? Say, I'm finna come. I'm getting real. Say, I'm getting real.
Getting real.
Amen. It's just like a man and a woman who's being intimate. And that brother know how to make your body feel.
Watch that now.
Y'all looking at me deep.
Come on, Pastor. Don't go there.
Those are familiar rarities that you remember. Go out of the house.
Amen.
Come on there.
That's demonic. That is the demonic spirit that's trying to seduce you to come back in relationship with it. That's why Jesus said the house is swept clean and garnished. And if you don't continue to abide in Jesus so he can feel. Am I making sense?
Amen.
That's why he said, whatever he said, when you ask the Father, anything you ask the Father in my name. But notice, because you're abiding in him and he's abiding in you, you're asking the Father because of your relationship with him. Now your desires are his desires. Am I in the house?
Amen.
Am I in the house? Now your desires are his desires. But the Bible said when the demon finds the house swept, clean, and garnished, he go and get seven other buddies.
Come on.
Because the house is clean.
Amen.
Am I making sense?
Amen.
And the whole goal, see, the Holy Ghost, see, the preacher The thing about a preacher, when a preacher's preaching, you hear it, this vein, but then there's another vein that comes up.
Come on.
Because I'm talking about, as long as God, you're agreeing with God, your flame is burning with you.
Come on.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's when you don't like what the word says pertaining to your flesh, it's when it seems like your fire goes out. Your passion is not there. You're not hungry for the things of God like you used to be. You're not thirsting after righteousness. You don't feel like reading your Bible like you used to be. You don't want to go to prayer no more. But think about Bible stuff. You can forget that.
Help us.
I might make it on Sunday morning. Don't talk to me about Sunday evening service. That's totally out of the question. Why? Because your fire that used to be there. Okay, I heard you. I heard you. This is what I heard. Remember when you first got saved?
Yes.
Do y'all remember when you first got saved? You were on
fire.
Fire! Amen. The Bible says God is as a consuming fire. When you first got saved, your fire was burning and nothing would stop you from your fire burning. If the pastor said we're going to be in church for 3 hours, you didn't even care because your fire was burning.
Come on now.
If the pastor said we're going to come Monday night, you would try to be there because your fire for him was
burning.
Yes. Come on here. Yes. Amen. Your fire was burning. And you nothing. Amen. And that's why he says, I heard in the book of Revelation, he said, you lost your first
love.
Yes.
Have you lost your first love? That your fire's not burning like it used to burn?
Yes.
Have you lost your first love? You know your fire's not burning like it used to. It might be a little bit, kind of flickering on it. You're trying to, some of us are
come
trying
on.
To keep it.
Come on.
Am I in the house?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
This is when God is going to get everything that's keeping you, putting your fire out. He's going to get rid of it.
Amen. Amen.
He's going to get rid of it. Am I making sense?
Amen.
He gonna do it because the Bible says he that started the work in Precious, he that started the work in you, he that started the work in Aaron, he that started the work in Becky, he that started the work in you, Kona, he that started the work in you, he that started the work in Brenda, he that started the work in Donna, he that started the work in Princess, he that started the work in me, he said he shall perform it.
Yes.
He started the work. He started the work. He that started in Lexus, they ain't got my Lexus out, but it's okay. Amen. He started the work. So that means he's going to complete the work that is going on in you right now. Now, as he do the work in you, don't fight against the work.
Come on.
And that make sense?
Amen.
Don't resist the work that God is trying to do in you. Some of you, God is trying to change your whole structure of friends.
Come on. Come on.
Because some of your friends, you know all they want to do.
Come
amen.
On.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Let's tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
Say, tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
You can look at me if I'm crazy, whatever, but you know some of your friends, they don't want nothing out of life.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
They don't want nothing out of life. They want you to remain stupid and ignorant like them.
Amen.
They want you to quit school.
Come on.
So you stay ignorant. So you stay dumb. Come on here. They don't want you to prosper. Because birds of a feather flock together.
Come on.
They ignorant and they want you to stay ignorant. When it looks like you about to go to the next level, the crab reach up and pull you back into the pot. How they do it? Remember we used to hang out together?
Jesus. Help us.
Remember we used to do this together? Come on. Didn't we have fun?
Come on.
And you kind of be like, yeah. We did have fun. I had one of my old friends from the hood. I grew up over in East Austin off of Martin Luther King. And one of my old friends came to me and said, hey man, we need to get back and party. You remember what we used to do, Harold, man? We used to do this, and we used to do that. And we need to come together and bring all everybody together. And this and that and other, and this and that and other. And I said, yeah, man, you know, those were some good times.
Come on.
But I told him, I got a new dancing partner.
Amen. Amen. Jesus.
I said, now, if you want to fellowship with me, I said, come go to church with me.
Amen.
Let's fellowship in Jesus. Amen. We used to fellowship with the 40s.
Come on.
Amen.
The OEs.
Come on here. The slit smart leather. The old English. The bull.
Mm.
I ain't trying to get this. If you start to taste it, you need to get some deliverance now. All right. You need some deliverance. Come on here. And we used to fellowship in those things of the world. I used to fellowship in the things of the world. Come on here. If we tell the truth, a lot of our old friends are friends of the world. Under Satan's control.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, say, tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
No, you know they're not saved.
Come on.
Would you like hanging around them?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Amen.
Amen. Right.
You like hanging around, but now you're in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a different family. You're in a different vein now.
Mm-hmm.
What I used to do out there is not going to work in the church. That's
come on.
Let me see right there. That's why when what you used to do out there in the world, and you come into the church, and you try what you did in the world, in the church, after a while, because it's not working in the church.
Come on.
What you used to do out there is not going to work in his kingdom. And because I knew it used to work for me out there.
Mm-hmm.
Come on here.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Am I in the house?
Amen.
I know how it worked when I was out there.
Yes.
I knew if I needed some, I know how to get with some folks. And
come on, come on, come on. Yeah, come on.
Come on.
You know how to make things. Come on here.
Yes.
Come on here.
Amen.
You knew how to make, you know, give and take a little bit.
Yes. Mm.
But in being in God's dear son's kingdom, God get jealous when you go and do stuff under the table.
Come on, say that.
And don't
say
let
that.
Him do what his word says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He gets jealous because he's trying to meet all your needs in his son.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to give you everything you need. But look here, okay, I heard you. This is what I heard. If you're not healed in your mind, emotion, in your will,
mm-hmm.
you'll feel like God is not meeting your need.
Come on.
I wish I had time. I will take you to the Old Testament, where the children of Israel, God was their king.
Mm-hmm.
And the children of Israel said, we want a king.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we want a king. They saw the other nations, they had a king of somebody that they could physically touch. And God was their king.
Mm-hmm.
And because they started yearning.
Mm.
Okay, all right. Amen. They start yearning for something that they could touch physically. Mm-hmm. And because they felt God wasn't meeting their needs, they started looking for other things to meet their needs. Do you feel like sometimes God is not meeting your need?
Hmm.
Now tell the truth. Hmm. Do you feel like sometimes God is not meeting your needs?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all looking at me deep calling on the deep. Do you feel like sometimes God is not meeting your need?
Yes.
God gonna bless you for your honesty. It's when we act like you looking like
macho
what
man.
Oh no, no, did you get it, boo boo? No, Yogi, I didn't get it either. It's See, when you feel like, you know, the only reason why we feel like God is not meeting that need is because this is crying out for stuff.
Mm-hmm. The flesh.
This here. Anytime you feel like God is not meeting your need, it's because your flesh wants something different from God. Your flesh wants something different from God. And you'll feel like God ain't meeting your need.
Amen.
You'll feel like God is not meeting your need because your flesh wants it. I'm J.G. Wentworth, and I want it, and I want it now. Want it now. And you don't care what anybody say.
Come on.
You gonna go get it.
Come on.
Am I down?
Amen.
You will sell your own mama out for your flesh. Mm. A husband will sell his wife out for his flesh. A wife will sell her husband out for her flesh. A child will sell the daddy or mama out because of their flesh. That's how serious this thing is. You'll sell, you don't care, because as long as you get it in your flesh. Am I in the house? Mm-hmm. How many of you sold out, folks, because of your flesh? Come on, tell the truth in the house of God. You know you did them wrong.
Yeah.
You know you did them wrong. Am I in the house?
Amen.
Come on here. And you know you did them wrong. Well, guess what? That's what we do to God. When you feel like Father God is not meeting your needs, you'll sell him out. You'll compromise him. Because that need you feel like is not being supplied through his son, Jesus. That's why we used to sing that song. Jesus is all I need. Yeah. Jesus is all I need. We used to sing that song years ago in the choir. Years ago. We don't sing those kind of songs, but we used to sing them. And those songs made it to where the more you sang it and sung it, the more eventually you started realizing that song became a part of your life. Jesus is all I need. You started realizing it. Am I the house?
Amen.
We're talking about that which breaks up fellowship. Now, I didn't go the way that I wanted to go today. I didn't, but I had a whole different route that I wanted to go. Because the route that I wanted to go was the prodigal son. Because the prodigal son is a good example, because he wanted his inheritance. He didn't care of offending his own daddy. He didn't even care. The prodigal son, here it is just like a good example of the prodigal son would be your child coming to you and say, Mama, I want what you're going to have for me after you die. But I want it now. Total disrespect and disregard to their daddy or mama. And the prodigal son did his father like that. So the father, being a loving father, gave his son what he wanted. But the Bible says the prodigal son went into the world. He left the father's house and went back into Satan's kingdom. When your fire go out, you'll call yourself leaving the father's house and go back into the world. That's the familiarity spirit that I was talking about earlier. You remember what it was like when you went unsaved?
Amen.
You'll go back into the world as because you feel like, okay, I got what I want. God gave me what I wanted. He gave me the car. He gave me the house. He gave me this. And now you got it. Now you go back and you use it up into Satan's system.
Have mercy upon us, Father.
But notice this. I said earlier, my daughter's going to always be my daughter. That never cuts off your relationship in the kingdom. You just started using your blessings for Satan's kingdom. Is this making sense now where I was going?
Amen.
Yes.
You know, I was going to turn to the story of the prodigal son to illustrate, but I talked instead of illustrating. But if you know the story of the prodigal son, Come on. The prodigal son went back into the world and to Satan's kingdom, and he lost everything. That's why some of you are starting to hit rock bottom again. When God started bringing you out and setting you up, instead of you using it in his kingdom, you went back out into the system of Satan. And Satan came only to do three things. He came to steal,
kill,
and destroy. That's all he came to do. The prodigal son had to get to the pig pen. He got in the, I remember my next door neighbor, Mr. Walker, had a pig pen, a hog, so whatever they called him, I don't know, I still don't know the difference between a hog and a pig. I leave that to the professionals, help me Lord, amen. I don't know the difference, amen. I just went out there with him, amen. He would go get that food in those big barrels, and I would ride with him to go get it and stuff, and have him, he'd tell you, put on those high boots and stuff like that, and I would ride with him down to where they were, the hogs, the pigs, whatever they were, amen. Help me, Jesus. Amen. Help me, Lord. I need to ask somebody, okay, what do you call them? Okay, I'm just okay. Anyway, the prodigal son had got to where they fed the pigs and the hogs in the slop. Because he used up that which his father had blessed him with into the system of Satan. And he hits rock bottom. He's sitting there taking on a job, feeding the pigs, the swines. Here he is feeding them. He's hungry. And I can imagine, look like a Sonic burger went across the swamp. And the brother said, he grabs the burger. I'm just paraphrasing. Okay, you get where I'm going with that. Okay.
Yeah.
And he gets ready to, because it's like he's in a mirage. Y'all see people naked in the sea, okay? And he's getting ready to buy it in some way. And he drops it back. And he realizes he comes to his senses. He said, I had better with my father. I was having it better when I was going to church on Sundays after Sunday.
Come on.
I was making it to Bible study.
Come on.
I was praying.
Come on.
Getting up praying in the morning.
Come on, help us, Father.
Taking times to read my Bible. I had it better then than what I'm having now.
Come on.
Amen. Amen.
He came to his senses. That's why the Bible. Everybody, does this make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
But the Father in his love. When the son came to his senses, he left the pig pen. But the time he left the pig pen until he got to the father's house, I don't know how far he had to travel. Some of you are traveling a long distance to get back where you were before you went. Am I making sense?
Amen.
It seems like it's a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
There's no telling what the prodigal son had to crawl over, go through, in order to get his relationship back with his father. But Father God, the Bible said the father of the prodigal son would every day he would go and look and see. Is that my son? Oh, maybe that ain't him. Okay. Next day he would get up. Is that my son? No, that ain't him. Next day, is that my son? No. The Father God wanted that. He's still his son.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But something has broken the relationship on him. Is this making sense?
Amen.
And so one day, the father gets up and he looks down the road.
Okay, I heard you. And I said, hey, I just want to give you a better picture. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
You ready? Remember purple? Remember when she was over? Every day she would run to the fence.
Is that a ladder? Is that a ladder?
I told y'all I'm gonna give you a better picture. I told you. Satan is hitting the real letter from me. Come on. Amen. Hey! Yeah! When the light came on, the real letter came. The father finally looks over and sees his son coming. And he gets excited. The son is coming toward him, but the father is running toward the son. That's the way she felt in purple, the color purple. When her children came, she was just so excited. Am I there? I'm painting a picture because I want you to see the way Father God wants the relationship to be restored. He wants that relationship to be restored. And when the son got, Father got to the son went to saying, Father, I was wrong. He made the confession with his mouth. Just like in the book of Isaiah, when we went to Isaiah, the 6th chapter, the angel came down with the coal and touched the lips of Isaiah and took his sin away. The prodigal son, wasn't worried about all that the son had done. He was just glad to have the relationship restored.
Amen.
That's all Father God wants. That's all Father God wants. He's just trying to, some of you, you know you're in that far lane.
Come on.
You're trying to get back home today.
Come on.
Just like the Bible lets us know the father and the prodigal son threw the biggest party. He put a ring on the son's finger. Come on here. He put new shoes on his feet. Come on here. Put new clothes on him. Come on here. He made everything new. Amen. The Bible says repent and be converted, that the times of refreshing. The prodigal son coming home is an example of the times of refreshing.
Amen.
Can y'all see that? Man, I should took to the story and I can show you the time of refreshing. From the son repenting and acknowledging he had done wrong. Father wasn't worried about that. Father wasn't worried about any of that kind of stuff. Let's see. Help me, Lord. Oh, God. Is this making sense?
Yes. Amen.
He wasn't worried about any of that kind of stuff. He wanted the relationship restored. Father God is trying to get many, some of us, our relationships restored. He's trying to get us back to the times of refreshing can come. The time of refreshing when he put the ring on the son's finger.
Yeah.
New shoes on his feet. Put new clothes on his son. Got the pig pen stitch off of him. Come on here. He cleaned him up. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's what Father God want to do to people. He want to clean you up. Come on here. He want to make you come on here. Can you imagine? You get where I'm going with that? That's all Father God want to do. Church, I want to take you to some more other scriptures. I didn't do it. Please forgive me. I have to stop. It's not that I'm out of words, but I got to respect time.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?